Business Podcast. This is a place where we will discuss what it's like to raise a business. Raise a business as new business owners trying to build something amazing. As a husband and wife team, as people strengthening relationships and growing as human beings. It's about the challenges, triumphs, lessons, and perspectives we have along the way. We will bring in experts and regular people that are just really good at what they do to hear their stories and learn about their journey, because everyone has a story. So here's today's guest. Welcome to Raising a Business Podcast. Hey, Trevor, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's a little spring rainy out there, but it feels like spring, so I'm good.
Yeah, winter finally broke.
Yeah, did it ever. It sure took a while to bust through, but it came.
So worth it, though.
It's so true. Awesome. So what are we talking about today?
Today, we are going to dive deep into the origin of Susie, her backstory, and kind of why you got into graphic design and what led you down the road to marketing and starting your own business and everything like that. So yeah, maybe we'll just start it off. You can just, I don't know, give the Cole's notes of your background of like how you got into it and you know, when you graduated.
Yeah, good question. That's one of those things that you kind of don't think about very much, but at the same time, it's obviously...
Yeah, what is your background? What do you know?
What is my background? Well, I played rugby in high school and in college, and I worked at Red Lobster as a waitress while I was in school.
Well, this is getting interesting now.
So I guess really I went to UC fresh out of school, like high school, and just took general studies because I just assumed that's kind of what everybody did. I really had no idea ever what I wanted to do when I grew up, other than when I was younger I wanted to be a fireman, and then somebody told me I was too short. so
they,
I thought,
obviously don't know who you are.
Yeah, obviously I was so confused that it seemed so wrong, but I obviously didn't want it that hard because I didn't look into it any further once somebody told me I was too short. So I really had no idea what I wanted to do. I just went to UC. It was really great. I took lots of art history classes, economics, general studies. Enjoyed it all. I've always really enjoyed school and sitting there learning and studying and memorizing things, because that's really what typical kind of academia type school is. But then I kind of realized, since I'm paying for this, I better figure out what I'm doing and do it quick, because I thought I really didn't want to be one of those permanent students. Didn't have the funds or the desire. It sort of seemed like it was kind of fruitless. So after a year there, when I realized I had no idea where I wanted to go, I was just talking with my family, and of course, you know how families are sometimes, they're like, well, you were really good at art in high school, you draw pretty pictures, you should go to art school. And the idea of going to art school didn't appeal to me, only because I don't think that I'm I'm not in my head enough, I guess, to like try to think of the concepts and trying to figure out what to do. And the idea of spending all day in a studio by myself, just something about it didn't appeal to me at all. But I figured, well, I didn't really know what else I was going to do, so I put together a portfolio and applied to Alberta College of Art and Design just to try to get in, and thought, well, I can always just decide later, but may as well try. And I did get in, and my second year I went there. So it is an art, it's officially university status now.
Yeah, I just seen that. That just happened recently.
It did, super recently. But at the time it was just a college, and it's right next to St. Campus, which where you were. So maybe our paths crossed without even knowing it.
I think we would have been, the timing would have been maybe off a little bit.
Because
I was a little older than you.
Yeah.
So maybe there might have been some crossover there.
Yes. So anyway, so they're right next to Sate, and it's...
Oh, I did frequent the Red Lobster often though. So
maybe... Oh yeah, see, that was right there too.
So maybe we crossed paths at the Red Lobster. Maybe you served me lobster one time. I don't know.
I hope you tipped well.
Probably not.
And I just, they make you do, they used to make you do a foundation year. So they kind of, so it was like general studies at UC and then a foundation year at Alberta College of Art and Design. And I just had to take a bunch of electives. So it took like fiber making and sculpture and figure drawing and this thing called visual communications, which was like, I didn't really know what it was at all, but everyone seemed to be talking about it. And I thought it sounded like an interesting option to take. And the first day, it was like love at first sight, because the instructor came in and she was like hard ass, like was like strict, like kicked people out because they were a few minutes late, was like, no, this is like serious business. This is advertising, you know, gave us this crazy derivative project. So they gave us like a photo of an outline of a building, like a high rise, and you had to use Sharpie markers and cut paper and like turn it into an interesting kind of composition and shape and try to just like pull it out and turn it into this thing somehow. Like, anyway, it was a completely different, all of a sudden I realized that this is something that kind of combines creativity and artistic sort of creative thinking with really concrete problem solving ideas. And it just like instantly all of a sudden felt like everything clicked in my mind. I did not even know this thing, visual communications, which really is kind of graphic design and advertising and just communicating visually exactly what it says, was even a thing. I did not even know it existed.
So you didn't grow up wishing to be...
Never.
In marketing or in design or anything like that. Which I find kind of interesting, because you just seem like... I don't even know if I knew that about you, because you just seem like you've always been very artsy and designy, and you've got all the Eames books and designer books and stuff like that. So I find, you know, it's interesting that you didn't know that until you actually... Well, how would you know that? I mean, I don't even think I knew what marketing was until we met. It's something I think we all know about, but we rarely think it's a, like, it's its own industry, I guess, or it's its own trade.
Yeah, or that you can make a living at it. Profession, I guess, is maybe the way.
It's something that happens in New York and Paris, but never anywhere else.
Totally, and I was really lucky in that. I mean, at the time, there was only two... This, don't quote me on this because it might not totally be right, but I'm pretty sure there was only Alberta College of Art and Design and one other place in the East. It might have been Emily Carr or something, where you could get your Bachelor of Visual Communication. So it was like pretty sought after, and it was a small program. So I mean, there was only, once you did that first year, once you tried to apply to get in, which we had to do the next year, I think there was only 20 of us that got in, and there was a lot of applicants. So it was pretty hard to even just get into the program after you did the 1 year, but I like just knew. So while I didn't know about that thing, you are right in that I always did tons of drawing. I always really enjoyed piecing things together. And
well, I would think that visual communication, especially when you took it, late 90s, early 2000s, probably, right?
Yeah.
And not that it was that long ago, but computer software and programs, computers themselves, were kind of in the infancy stage.
Yeah, it was brand new to the industry for sure.
So there was probably a lot of hands-on creating of ads.
It was, totally. So they used to make us do all kinds of things with like cut paper and piecing things together. It wasn't, at the time, we didn't even get to go on computers until our last year, I believe, or maybe it was even third year. So we were already 2 years in and we weren't even allowed to go on computers. And then when we did, we were awful and a total disaster. But you were like hand making mock-ups and doing illustration too at the time. So then it branched off into design and illustration, and kind of design advertising. So they kind of made you do a little bit of both. Like, even though I don't consider myself to be an illustrator, I think just my understanding and kind of, I guess, skills, because it was kind of forced into you in both marketing, advertising, and graphic design, illustration was probably a lot stronger than what, you know, people would have to do if you could rely on computers and stock imagery. And
do you ever fall back to that? Does it help you? Do you still use that, like, you know, rather than jumping right into the computer aspect of things? Do you do mock-ups?
Yeah, always, actually. Yeah. And I kind of force our team to do it that way too. Is like, we still share sketches, and I try to do everything in sketches, whether it's website kind of wireframing or logo mock-ups or sketching out an idea. Is that I often will kind of scratch it out on a scratch pad or in a sketchbook and then go, because you think different. Like, it's just like reading a paper book versus reading an ebook or listening to a podcast,
yeah,
right?
Oh,
like,
for sure.
We've talked about learning styles and stuff before too, is it's all so different. So having to just think about it so simply and not get lost in the tools, I think it's really important. And I think people should still kind of do that. I mean, maybe it's just because it's kind of how we were trained, but.
Do you find there's kind of a gap or kind of that skill set missing with like the newer designers, marketing people that you work with now, like, or do they still do a good job of kind of drilling that into them that, you know, start with pen and paper first and then move to the computer programs and software? Like, do you find that, you know, when you're working with people, you know, with your years, like 15, 20 years of experience, that they kind of just instinctively do that, whereas the younger, less experienced, you know, they've been just taught and computers have been such a big part that they just don't think to go.
Yeah, I almost don't know if it's as much. I mean, I haven't worked with a brand new designer in a long time, so I can't speak to that like somebody fresh out of school kind of thing. But I think the thing is, I think people always want to take shortcuts, and it seems like you can go faster because you've got good skills when you go on the computer, and people are really nervous to share their sketches and show.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that's what you've been trained to do, like, people get worked up about it because they're worried that you're not going to get it or you don't like the sketches. But it sort of feels like it's one of those really important, like, making yourself vulnerable kind of moments, where if you can't share your own sketches and really rough ideas with your team, then how the heck are you going to share your logo designs or, you know, full wireframe of a site?
Mm-hmm.
Is that I feel like you kind of have to force everybody to do it, because everybody tries to cut that corner, whether they learn better or how they were taught. Almost doesn't seem to matter. It just seems like people want to kind of cut those things. And I think it's really important.
So you graduated high school, took a year at Red Lobster to find yourself. Played rugby, always. Got your visual communications degree.
Yes.
And then moved to New York City. Had drinks in the office like on Mad Men.
Yeah, I wish.
Smokes.
No, I mean, that was that. I did really enjoy advertising. Kind of, we did more of that in our fourth year. And I did consider getting into that more. And really, the conversation was, if you want to, well, then you got to move
to New York.
You got to move to the States and do more of that. And I realized that wasn't really where I wanted to go. I was very close to moving to London at one point and doing advertising there. And then the economy and everything kind of crashed and it hit Europe really hard. And it seemed like a very bad idea to move someplace 2-3 times more expensive, where I didn't know anyone, to start a job I didn't have, because I couldn't get a job until I got there. So I decided that maybe wasn't the best idea. But after school, actually, my first job, I ended up working with one of my professors that one of our computer type teachers, he had his own agency. So I worked with him for a little bit. And that's actually where I learned the most, is like, everybody talks about getting their hands dirty and got to get in there. Like, you talk about being an apprentice or, you know, like anything like that, where you really have to just get in there and someone has to show you how to use the programs. Like, even though I was trained in theory, I have terrible practical skills. I had no idea what I was doing.
Well, there's such a huge difference between, you know, you can sit down and read a manual and take a course, until you get out there and you actually try and build something with your skills.
right,
and run into the real world problems, you really don't learn. That's when the learning really happens,
it's is
when you
so start getting true. Out there. So he did all kinds of things for Husky Oil, like he did their newsletter and annual reports, and we did a bunch of things for Brewster's Transportation, like all the bus tours that mm-hmm. went all over the Rocky Mountains, and
yeah.
so big brochures, really technical things, and he was super picky with that stuff, and I learned so much, and I would say, like, it was, I think I was only there for a year, and it was just kind of like freelance more. It wasn't even really full time, but it was so valuable and worthwhile. And it was in a really cool old building. It was right above where Vintage Restaurant is in downtown Calgary. Anyway, there's these like old lofts. So it was like old loft brick building. You would have loved it. Like, you seriously, it would be like your dream office now. Though in the summer, it was hell because it was like 1,000 degrees in there because there's no AC.
I think that's way too hot.
Oh, it was
1,000 degrees.
Oh, it was like lava. I swear. I remember like sliding off my chair because it was like so hot in there. Anyway, so yeah, I kind of worked there for a little while, and then I worked at a couple small branding design kind of type companies, did lots of annual reports. So,
annual report specialist.
Yeah, big time. I think I did, I don't know, started off doing like 6 annual reports a year. And I think by the end I was doing like 20 or 25 annual reports a year. And there was a team of us. So it was an investor relations company called Brian Mills Iridesso. They're still around today, I believe. And some of my closest friends I kind of met there, and we were all really close. A lot of those girls are all still friends now, but it was a great team of people, and we learned so much. Again, technical skills. I never really realized, just as I'm thinking of it, how important the really nailing your technical skills is. Like, I guess I never really thought of that, but anyway, that's just kind of an aside. So that was important. Went between, I would say, three different companies for that. And then really it just sort of started seeming like it was time to bust out on our own and start new things. But yeah, it was interesting. I worked for a home builder company for a while,
mm-hmm.
Rock, Paper, Scissors, which was like Cardell Homes in-house design company, and learned lots there and worked with some great people, and
got a full gamut of
it seemed like designers are notorious for this, but it seemed like every 2 years I like kind of got, I think one job I stayed there for 4, but then you just, because it was so intense and they were quite specialized firms, so then you kind of got sick of doing
Well, aren't they saying like that's the new trend with the younger generation now anyways, is that they don't stick around? I mean, not to get into my story, but I was with one company for 16 and a half years.
Yeah. That's unusual, I think, for more people even our age.
Oh, yeah.
You were still kind of part of that older generation, even though we're the same age.
Well, I am an old soul, so.
Old man Rouse.
Old man Rouse, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Who is your kind of biggest influencer, mentor, hero, just somebody you admired, somebody that you looked up to in the industry? Someone that you aspired to be more like? It doesn't have to be somebody that you, like, it could be. It could be somebody that was a teacher, was a coworker, was a boss, or it could be just somebody that you just really thought, wow, I wish I was more like him/her.
I think there was a lot, actually. I mean, I think about any of the professors I had that also worked in design firms, so they were super influential. I feel like I've, for the most part, always had pretty good bosses or creative directors or directors that I've learned a lot from. So I've tried to kind of learn. I really do. I consider myself, though maybe you disagree, but I consider myself fairly coachable in that I do like to learn things, and if you kind of explain it to me and I understand why, then I'm happy to just do it. Like, you said it before too, where you're just like, you're happy to be a doer sometimes and just get the work done. And
yeah, I just tell me what you want and I'll get it done.
And whether it's tedious or small detail or, replacing 1,000 commas in a document or aligning up periods in a financial statement, there is something really satisfying about that. But actually, Cheryl Malosky, I think that's how you say her last name, comes to mind. Anyway, I worked with her And then we kind of tried to work together a little bit in other things. But she was a good mentor, I think, in that she came from big agencies I worked. She was a coworker, and then she was, I think she ended, was my kind of direct report for a little while. But she was super influential on that. I remember thinking, yeah, like she gets it, and I want to be like that. And she was like always really organized and had these really big ideas and kind of had just an eye for detail, like was relentless with, you know, kind of perfection. And you know, the brief might have said one thing, but she's like, well, what if we could do this? And then she kind of wanted to take it somewhere else. And yeah, I just always thought she really had some incredible ideas and never really let the boundaries of a project kind of get in the way. But she did always still really produce really corporate, workable work, if that makes sense, right? As opposed to just being kind of indulgent for yourself or just indulgent but not really covering the brief. I think she had a big influence on me and feeling like, yeah, that's, I kind of want that quintessential professionalism, big ideas, big thinker, but really successful, I guess, kind of in your own right.
Yeah. Yeah. And was there any particular, like, somebody that you looked up to as like a designer, like just straight up design,
like a famous designer?
Yeah, maybe like you know, a design style that you lean towards more.
I've always loved Art Nouveau as like my favorite. I got to go to Glasgow quite a few years ago, and like the school, the Glasgow School of Art is there, and it's very Art Nouveau. And Charles Rennie Mackintosh is I don't even know if he's a graphic designer, furniture designer, kind of everything designer from Glasgow.
Industrial designer, yeah.
Yeah, and I like just absolutely every single thing he does still to this day. Anytime you and I are out or say anything, I'm like, oh my God, look at that. And I've always loved chairs, like really like Eames chairs, anything, absolutely any kind of really high-end, exorbitantly expensive chair. I don't own any.
Yeah, yeah. Let's make that point.
I have a couple mini ones.
We have mini versions,
you can collect mini chairs that are like, even the mini chairs are like $200 a pop, but yeah. That's...
How much is an Eames chair?
If, I don't know, like probably anywhere from 2,500 to 4,000. I think it just depends on what it is. So
yeah. I mean, it's expensive, like but
it's like
not
a nice
that
lazy
bad.
Boy. No, yeah. But if it was like original, those are probably just like
if it was knockoffs or like
kind of like
replicas. I guess would be the
that would be the right term. Yeah. So if it was like original, I'm sure it's more like
what made 10, by 000. Him himself.
Well, I don't know. Eames? I'm sure there's rules of like if it was manufactured by something like that, then it's probably more like $10,000 or something like that. So.
Should look it up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We'll put a link in the show notes and people can go.
And the link to the, there's whole mini chair collections that you can.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like obsessed with those.
Is that, too, yeah, so. Yeah, there's a mini chair that I'm looking at right now. And
yeah.
Is that a famous chair?
It is, but I can't remember the name of it. I was just trying to think of what it is. I'll have to look it up. But actually, I saw it on eBay the other day and I think it was worth $300 or $400. So I was excited and just thinking little mini replica chairs that like they're literally, if you've never seen them before, which I don't know why you would, they're literally, I don't know, maybe 4 inches by 5 inches. So they're tiny, but if they're done right, they're supposed to be made from almost the same material and really mini versions. So I'm obsessed with chairs. I don't know why. Even though I have no desire to ever, maybe I need to design a piece of furniture or something someday.
That would be tough.
It would be.
I think that would be a very tough thing to do.
But could I design it, like,
just
theoretically
don't forget the, like,
and you
the,
measure it?
The seat.
Yeah.
It has to be usable.
Well, you could do the measurements for me. You're kind of better at that part. I'll make you a little construction of, glue and paper, and then...
Well, let's get this back on track here.
Sorry about that.
So did you have a I knew I made it moment when?
Oh, you with know? Switchback?
No, just like... well, you don't have to go that deep.
I knew I made it the day I met you.
Oh, well, that's sweet.
It's true.
No, I mean, like, you knew you made it, like, you were a good designer, or you were, like, you knew your stuff. Like, you know, there's always that moment I find, like, whenever you're doing something or learning something or... you know, you're starting your career out where you're like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that, I think that sticks with us for a long time, forever, actually, you know. But there are moments where you're like, wow, like, okay, maybe I am good at this. Maybe I do know what I'm talking about sometimes, you know. Like, did you ever have any of those moments, or did you have one of those
that
sticks out? Where you just nailed a design or nailed a marketing plan?
I was going to say, for me, it seems like it's anytime I can think of that feeling, it's more of a feeling than I can think of a specific moment. It's when I've had to do big, important pitches in front of people, where it's like you do a lot of prep and where I kind of had a little bit more, I don't know, like seniority. So I was able to do more of the presenting and just...
being able to talk about it.
Yeah, how naturally good I was. I mean, I was always really prepared, and I've always, you know, kind of liked talking to groups. But that idea of kind of being able to combine getting people really excited about their designs, but using their own rationale for what they wanted and really weaving that into a story with kind of what you want to create. And then being able to actually, it is kind of the Mad Men style of like old school agencies where you actually have to pitch it back to boardrooms and groups of people. And it seemed like I had to do a fair bit of that earlier on in my career. And I loved it. Like, loved it. It was always terrifying. It was certainly never not scary, but the energy I got from it and how exciting it was to pitch those ideas and to watch people's reaction, good or bad, it, you know, most of the time it was good, obviously, but even when there was some opposition, to be able to kind of challenge that and think of why it is that we did it and how to try to remember and move back, you know, kind of into the spot of showing them why something was done and created a certain way and what the thinking is and what the strategy is behind it. That those were always moments I walked away and thought, wow, like, I'm pretty good at this. Like, that, that's cool. Because you watch people who can struggle with it, even if they're amazing designers or amazing thinkers, to be able to pitch your idea back to somebody that has to own it is a different kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. I think I'm probably one that would be categorized in the not so good in that department. You know, it's definitely a skill.
And practice.
And practice.
It takes a lot of practice too, I think.
Such as everything in life is just practice, practice.
That's the truth.
Well, it kind of answered a little bit my other question I was going to have. Like, do you have a favorite project? Do you have a favorite part of what you do? And that was kind of your answer right now, is that the pitching.
Though we don't pitch as much. Maybe we need to start doing that again. But it seems like because we work with business owners and stuff, like, because we're not dealing with big boards of people or people that you don't have access to, and we're just dealing with the marketing manager, which is kind of what I did more before. Now we get to deal with the owners directly, so we kind of constantly get to get them excited about things and touch base. So it's a little bit of a different setup. There's not like a big reveal like there used to be, but that's actually a good thing, because one of the biggest things we've always heard is that, you know, when companies and business owners are working with big agencies, unless you're a really big company, the idea that somebody just goes away and makes all this magic and then, bling, you know, presents it back is kind of terrifying for people. So we deliberately try to avoid it, but then sometimes you miss that, you know, exciting aha moment. But now, what's my favorite part of projects, or what's a favorite project?
Well, anything, like, you know, it could be so, it could be like, you know, as simple as, you know, I like doing logo design to directing your team, or conducting a meeting with owners, or, you know, like, it doesn't, you know, I'm just curious to know, like, what is your favorite part of what you do now? Because it has changed so much. I would say what you did 16 years ago was probably nothing what you do now, right?
Yeah, it is very different.
The foundation's the same.
Yeah, but for sure. Yeah, that's a really good question, because it definitely kind of makes me think. I think now it has more to do with kind of connecting the dots and helping give brands something to hang their hat on. Like, so it goes back to what we kind of say, like, we're brand storytellers. And I think what we do, and part of my favorite part of what we do, is exactly that, is that they've got all these pieces. Like, I was just chatting with our team earlier today in a meeting, and like, they have all these pieces, but yet they consider themselves to not even have any personality. They're like, well, we don't really have any personality. We need to discover it. But yet when we dig in and talk to them, they've got all these incredible things that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they have no idea how to share that with the world. Like right now it's completely absent, even from like their front end staff to, and you know, being anywhere in their office to, and definitely it's not on their website or in their marketing or anything. And they've got this great story. So it's like us being able to bring that forward and repeat back to them and tell them how cool that is. Like be able to say, do you realize how neat this is? Like you're sitting on a gold mine kind of thing. And to be able to then turn it into something that they can market, that then they can grow clients from and fan base from. And I think that's probably my favorite part of what we do now is gathering all those pieces and telling that story.
Telling the story.
Yeah, that really excites me.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, it excites me too. So we've got your education background. We got your kind of pathway of how you got here. We got your favorite things you like to do. Some of the influencers in your life and, you know, kind of how you got here. And when I mean your life, I mean your professional life.
Right.
What do you like to do outside of working as a designer, marketing person? What's your thing to unwind from a long day?
I love hanging out with my bestie, who also happens to be my husband, who also happens to be my business partner, who is you. We love being in the mountains. Like, honestly, if I have to say where my happy place is, it's mountain biking or hiking with you and our dog and being in the mountains anywhere. Like, we've been on bike trails in a few different places, and we're always blown away at how amazing Kananaskis and Bright Creek and Canmore, like, just how amazing our area is around. And
we are certainly really lucky to live where we live. I mean,
so lucky. So just being able, I think I, as I learn more about myself, as kind of things keep ramping up and getting busier and more intense, is I love, because I am a people person and because I do get so much energy from people and my brain's kind of always going in terms of interacting with people, and that's a big part of what I do every day. Being able to just be with one or two select people in nature and just listening to the birds chirp and getting all muddy and dirty and sweaty and enjoying the sun and falling over and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It just feels so good for my soul, just because it's such a stark contrast to what we do every day and what I do specifically in my role. Is it just my brain, everything just kind of relaxes. And we've always said that that's where we get our biggest ideas too, is that even though it's like getting away from work with air quotes, it really is means you can go deeper into it.
Yeah. Good. Right? Good. You said the air quotes, because I don't think they can hear that. They can hear the air quotes. So it's
For radio.
For radio. Or podcasts.
Podcasts, yeah. So I would say that's the best ideas come outdoors. So that's really what I love, if I had to summarize. I mean I love cooking and eating, you know that. Mm-hmm. I do love wine and craft beer, all those kind of, and coffee and all those things. But I think if I had to pick something, those things are only enjoyable because of, you know, the fresh air and mountains and space and so much beauty we have right next to us.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. We definitely need to get out to the mountains then.
Yeah, I know.
More often.
Let's do it. Make it happen. We have some ideas. I'm brewing already, so.
And we need to come up with a creative way to kind of segue into the end of the podcast, because now it's kind of this abrupt, like, all right.
Totally. Well, yeah. I would say next week, it's going to be Trevor's origin story. Talk about an interesting story. Let's do a little preview into next week.
Let's hide it right to the bitter end.
Well, Trevor Rounds has an amazing story, and he just kind of, just passed another kind of anniversary of the evolving of Trevor's career, I guess. So, I mean, it's all pretty exciting, and I have a way more A to B to C to D type of linear kind of path.
I'm just picturing a box, like an A to B to C, like
trigonometry. I got a trigonometry box. Trevor's got a doodle, a brain doodle box. So I think that'll be really interesting to find out more about your origin story next week.
Yeah. Right. I look forward to it. Yeah, I look forward to it.
I got to think of some good questions.
You do. Those are good ones, too. Yeah. You're going to have to get me talking.
That'll be good. I love it. So let us know maybe what you think. I know this one's kind of more of a personal story, so you might not have many thoughts, but share any thoughts, ideas, comments. We would always love to hear from you.
And topics, if you ever have a topic.
Yeah, totally.
That you want us to discuss or talk about or answer, just fire them our way. Yeah, we'll do our best.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for listening to Raising a Business. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.